Let's get straight into the word. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to teach your word and to preach your word. I thank you for the grace to teach it and preach with simplicity and with understanding, to bring clarity, to bring freedom. We thank you that as we hear your word, we will be transformed into the word that we hear. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. Amen. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It has become a bit of a tradition for me that towards the end of the year, I mean, it's something that I do anyway personally, where I'm reflective on the year. But the tradition for me has been, in the last few years, has been to teach things that enable us to process our year, conclude well, and set ourselves up for the new year ahead. And that's what I'm going to do with the next few sessions that I have with you this year. And today there's going to be at least two groups of people right here in this room. There's going to be those who avoid any form of reflection on the year. You just kind of bury your head in the sand. You just kind of get stuck in with the Christmas preparations and get stuck in with the chocolates and all of the fancy stuff and not think about anything about the year. And you just kind of get along. But there's also another group who are going to reflect. And I'm hoping that that's you, amen? Who are going to stop and reflect and set an expectation for a great year ahead. Anybody in the second group today? That's me, okay? Set an expectation for the year ahead. There are those who are crossing their fingers and hoping for a better year ahead, but there are those of us who can take deliberate steps to reflect, but also to strategize for the year ahead. A good year is not by luck. It is that constant, obviously it is by faith. We believe, we just walk towards the best that God has for us. And the psalmist says something here that I want to pick up. The psalmist says, teach us to number our days. He says, teach us to be able to look at the days and reflect on each day. That's what it means to number your days. It's not just to be able to count, but it's to understand, is to be present in the day that you are living in. And the psalmist says, as we number our days, we will gain wisdom, right? It is in the numbering of your days that we gain wisdom. As we reflect and we review on the days gone by, the psalmist says something happens. We get wiser. When you don't number your days, you don't review what's going on, you miss out on wisdom that has been laid out in every day, in every experience that you have had. Okay? Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. See, you gain wisdom from your review, not just so you can accumulate wisdom and have something to tweet about at the end of the year. Wisdom is not for Twitter or Instagram. Wisdom is for application, okay? Because wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. When you don't number your days, you don't review, you don't gain wisdom. Okay, wisdom allows you to, in fact, you know, when the year changes over, when you get into a new day, the thing that changes about the day is it really is just another day, right? Really is just another year. In fact, it's just a year because we called it a new year. You see what I mean? People have different cultures, have new years in different times. Right? And it's only, so it's not, the important thing is not primarily the time, but the important thing is your approach, is your mindset. Time gives us a new day, gives us an opportunity to reset. It gives us an opportunity to go again. Because how many people know that your God is a God of another chance? And he's a God of another chance and another chance. How many chances? He keeps on giving. You will run out of time before he runs out of chances. Did you get that? Okay. God never runs out of chances, but we run out of time. That's why we utilize chances well. Because you might be there taking your 3,000th chance and you're 80. Amen. And you don't have the opportunity to really do what God has called you to do. Are you still with me this morning? And so the mercy of God is such that there is always another opportunity. As you have breath, you have another opportunity to try again. As we come to the end of the year, as we come to the end of the day, we come to the end of the month, as another season starts, another hour starts, another month starts, what you have is a fresh opportunity to go again. It is God resetting things because of his grace and giving us the opportunity to utilize that season well. I was going to speak to you about resetting your life, and I had five things, but by the time I started looking at number one, I got stuck, right? So we're just going to look at the one thing today. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 6 says, Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter, because of disobedience, again, he designates a certain day. Look at the mercy of God. He designates a certain day, saying in David, today, today, everyone say today,
today.
Or this month, or this year, today, amen? He says, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Notice that even though they had missed it in the previous season, they didn't get it right in the previous season. God, in his grace, he reset it till today. He reset time till today. That's why it's important you understand this. Don't let time, right? Don't let time, never allow time to be greater than the promises of God. Okay? Because God can reset time. Amen? He can reset time. You've heard of people who were believing God for children for a long time, and then when they did have children, they had twins. Because God can make up the time. Amen? It's not about how long you've been married. It's about how much peace you have in the time you have been married. So it's not about, you're not in competition with your mates, your age mates, to get married around the same time. No, it's not a competition. Marriage is not a competition. Okay? It's not like the price for purity is marriage. The price for being a good Christian is not marriage. Are you listening to me? I don't know why I went there. But sometimes Christians, we act like that marriage is the goal. Singleness is a disease that you need to be delivered from, and marriage is the promised land. No, all of those things. No. Every season has its joys. Every season has its benefits. Every season is meant to be lived fully. But God, in his mercy, regardless of what has gone on in the previous season, what he does is he resets time. And so that's why I said, don't allow time to be bigger than your God. He can reset time. He can give you the joy in 1 year that some people have not experienced in 20 years. Because he knows what time is a function of his creation. And the scripture says that he reset the time, and he reset the time to give them another opportunity. Someone needs to hear today, God has reset the time for you.
Amen.
Amen. You have a fresh opportunity. You have a fresh mercy. Amen. Fresh grace. You know, you hear stories of the guy who founded KFC, for instance. He did it at 80. Because God reset the time. And in that time, he created something so brilliant that so many young people have not been able to replicate. The point I'm making is be present in the time, because right now, God has given you the grace of God looks like a fresh opportunity, new mercies, a new breath in your lungs. Amen. Can you breathe? It's evidence that you have time. It's evidence that God has shown mercy, that God has reset the time for you. Come on, I want somebody to just help me give God praise for another chance. Is anybody grateful for fresh mercy? That's right, fresh mercy and fresh grace. He resets the time. Amen? It's what he does. And so one of the things as we begin to reset, one of the things that I believe you and I need to pay attention to is the place of rest. I want to speak to you today about the place of rest. God provides fresh opportunities, fresh mercies, because he gives us the opportunity to start again. But it is important that as you plan to start again, you are starting from the place of rest. You are starting from the place of rest. And if you're going to do this, you need to understand what rest is, and we might get the opportunity to look at that today. Hebrews chapter 4, in the same chapter, I think we just read from 6 to 7, just flip down to verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4. It says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Someone put your hand up, say, there remains a rest for me. Come on, say it again. There remains a rest for me. It says, for he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works as God did from his. See, one of the things that can happen over the course of time, say over a year, over a day, over a month, over a week, over the course of time, one of the things that can happen is that the activities of life dislodge you from your place of rest. The activities of life, and I'll talk about what rest is, and so just stay with me. The activities of life, the ups and the downs, the hope and the, and it's not just the negative things, even the positive things. You know, you were in a place of rest until you got that promotion. Then you realize that the grace of God brought you into this promotion, and suddenly you're thinking, oh my God, did they make a mistake? When are they going to find out that I don't know what I'm doing? When are they going to find out that I'm not really qualified, that God just put me here, that he showed me favor? How many people have ever had a problem with favor? The problem with favor sometimes is that he opens doors that you know you don't qualify for, and so you now face another problem, and the problem is, what am I doing here? They're going to find out very soon. Come on now. They're going to find out, because, Chido, how do you know? I do every day. Every day I show up, are they going to come today? Oh my God, they came. Amen. I'm better at it now, amen. I'm just telling you, because when God puts you in a place that you just know it's the grace of God, right? The place of unrest is a place where you are looking at your own ability. When you are looking at your own capacity, when you are looking at your own pockets, that's where we get to the place of unrest. And so you might be in this place today where you have been dislodged. You are nervous about the new year. You are nervous about any opportunity that is to come. You're happy with where you are, but you kind of it's just like that Monday feeling at work where you're nervous about Monday, because again you've got to show up and you've got to work and you've got to put in, and it just feels like a stretch. You're nervous about everything. The place where you are uneasy. This is the place of unrest that I'm describing. Is a place where you're uneasy. You are worried about how it's going to go. You're worried about how the day is going to pan out. You don't even know what 2022 is going to come with, after looking at 2020 and looking at 2021. And you're feeling like maybe 2022 is going to be better. But then you thought, actually, I thought 2021 was going to be better. And then this thing happened. And oh my God, and you just kind of, anybody ever been there? And so it's that place of unrest. That's what life does to us. When you've been through enough good things, particularly in a season like the world has had with a global pandemic that affected so many areas of our lives in ways that we can't quite articulate, the effect of what has happened in the last couple of years will be felt for generations to come. We were viewing a school for my son for next year, and they had like a speech therapist, and she was saying that because of the pandemic, we're now getting children who are not as developed in speaking, because for a couple of years they've not really been interacting with people. And so there is the levels when you measure the way they speak compared to those who weren't in a pre-pandemic, that there is a disparity between the quality of their speech and the quality of those who always had the opportunity to interact with one another, with different people. The point I'm making is that the effect of what has gone on in the last couple of years is still being determined and deciphered, and you know, it's a whole new world. Are you listening to me? It's a whole new world. A whole new world. No, you don't have to sing it. I'm sorry, but it's a whole new world. Sorry, it was there. It was right there. You can't just say that twice and not sing it. But it's a whole new world now that we are right. I can't get the words out of my head now. Okay. Are you still with me? So what we've got to understand is that so much has happened, and in the face of this newness, it is understandable if you are in a place of unrest. But I came with a message today to say that God has given you the opportunity to reset our lives, given us the opportunity to reset our lives. But at the same time, the first thing we've got to understand is we do it from a place of rest. Okay, we do it from a place of rest. When we talk about that place of rest, the Greek word there is the word sabbatismos. Sabbatismos, from where we get Sabbath, our Sabbath day. And he says, and when you study it out, you understand that God designed for us to live or to work and operate from a place of rest. In its full manifestation, this rest that I'm talking about, when it's fully manifested, if you can think about heaven, if you think about whatever the Bible has described heaven to be like, in heaven, you won't be going for job interviews, you won't be trying to do business, you won't be watching your calories. That's the one I'm going for heaven for. If for anything, I'm going for heaven, going to heaven for that one, so I can. And you know, in heaven, the cake is going to be something else. You know, it's true, right? You know, it's just because of sin that calories affect us the way that it does. And when we get to heaven, Rashikabaya, glory, amen. But anyway, and so you know, whatever your pictures of heaven is going to be like. Where we know that ultimately what heaven is a place of rest. It's a place where we're no longer toiling and striving. There is no more anxious anticipation for what tomorrow is going to be like. You're not concerned about what you're going to eat because everything has been prepared. There is a place of rest. So when rest is fully manifested, it looks like heaven. It looks like that paradise. It looks like that place of uninterrupted worship and fellowship with God. That place where we no longer depend on our work to eat is that place where our default state is not anxiety, it's not work, it is rest. And in fact, when Adam was created, remember Adam was created on the sixth day, and guess what happened on the seventh day? God, in fact, let me back up. If you read the Genesis, you find God created everything. He did everything that he needs to do. He created everything that man would need. And then he creates man on the sixth day after his work was finished. And then after man is created, the next day became the day of rest for God. Because whatever man was going to do from the place of rest. You and I were designed to live from the seventh day and not from the sixth day. Amen. Are you listening to me? You were meant to live from day seven where God rested and not from day six where, or even day two where there was work to do to create the world that you are in. Are you listening to me this morning? But of course, you understand that in Adam's sin, he lost access to the garden. He lost access to this rest, this place of rest. And if you look through scripture, particularly if you look through the law, you find that God actually, even in the law, he began to give indications. There are people who are still fighting for the right to go to church on Saturday. They really missed the whole point of why God began to talk to them about a day of rest. The point was not the day of the week. The point was God rested on a particular day, and he was always interested in inviting you back into this place of rest. Okay, he had always been, even in the law. So even though they were in the law, outside of the will of God, now in the place where they had to work to earn the will of God, to earn the favor of God, even in that, he gave them this thing once a week where he would say, nobody work on that day. He gave them 1 year out of seven where he would say, nobody was going to farm, nobody was going to work the land 1 year out of seven. You may work, look at Exodus chapter 23. I'm going to go for it, verse 11. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but it's just to give you a context. I'm sure you can find so many more of these references in Scripture. But he says in verse 11, but let the land be renewed and lie uncultivated during the seventh year. Then let the poor among you harvest whatever grows on its own. Leave the rest for wild animals to eat. The same applies for your vineyards and your olive groves. And he says you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But on the seventh day, you must stop working. This gives your ox and your donkey a chance to rest. It is also your slaves, and it also allows your slaves and the foreigners living among you to be refreshed. Now, you understand that the law, in the law, is hidden mysteries and indications of what God was looking to do in the new dispensation. So Genesis tells us that God rested on the seventh day. God finished his work and then he rested on the seventh day. We have no indication from Scripture that suggests that God ever came out of that place of rest. He finished his work and he lives in a place of rest. We have nothing to suggest that God came out of that place of rest except until when Jesus came. But you get what I'm saying? So what God did with the children of Israel was to give them the law. He built within the law an invitation to a Sabbath day, an invitation to a place of rest. He gave them 1 day in a week, 1 year in seven, right, where it will be a time of jubilee. It will be a time where slaves will be set free, where debts will be canceled. Glory be to God. That day of Sabbath was the day where you didn't work, where you weren't allowed to lift anything. If we're talking about the year for the land to rest, it was the year where if anyone owed you money, that was the time to let them go. If anyone was, the poor could go into any field and pick up food. The idea beyond the social construct of the day, the idea is to give you an indication that God still desires to bring you into a place of rest. Hallelujah. Here is where it gets better. Here is what happens during the time of rest. The land is refreshed. People are provided for. Amen. There is provision outside of your own work. God will say to them, he says to the poor, that the poor will eat whatever the land produces, right? Whatever the land produces, the poor would feed on those things. And the scripture talks about how blessed are the poor, for they shall see God. There is a place of blessing that is, I'm not talking about financially poor, but it's just realizing that in yourself, you don't have anything but by the grace of God. Okay, that's where the blessing of the poor comes in. So look at this. They found all of this refreshing. In the place of rest, there is refreshing. In the place of rest, there is provision. But here is where it gets better. That was the law. They got 1 day out of seven. They got 1 year out of seven. But when Jesus showed up, he changed the game. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11, then Jesus, verse 28. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Matthew 11, 28 says, then Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Maybe this year you have been carrying some burdens. You know, the reason we feel anxious is maybe even about the new year or the new month or a new season is often the burdens from the past, the burdens of the experiences, just different things that carry weight. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden. He says, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. The first Adam lost rest. The second Adam showed up. And he says, if you come to me, I will restore you to the place of rest. Glory be to God. Let me tell you, if you want to know what the mind of God is concerning you, it is not one day out of seven that you rest. No, it is not one year out of seven that you rest. No, it is a permanent state of rest. For in him we live and move and have our being. Our life is hid in him. Glory be to God. And his life is in God. This place of rest is the place where you have been invited to. He says, take my yoke upon you. He says, let me teach you because I am humble and gentle in heart, at heart. And you will find, look at this, you will find rest for your soul. Do you know one of the things that we don't have in our world? Rest for your soul. There are so many things that are ready to upset your soul. There was a time when you got home, you can shut the world out. But now when you walk home, when you get in, the world comes into your home. Wherever you are, into your bedroom, right there, the whole world, you can hear what they're saying about you. Even when you, there was a time when, you know, when they gossiped about you, you waited till you went out to hear what they said. But now, it comes to you. You get notifications. And so there is no rest. Our soul can't find rest. Our soul is constantly troubled. You turn on the news. In fact, you know, I have a thing with the media. You turn on the news, and they have made a business out of troubling your soul. Literally out of troubling your soul. And Jesus says, come to me. He says, you will find rest for your soul. Hallelujah. I'm praying for somebody's soul today. Let me tell you, taking your life is not the plan of God for you. There is another way to find peace. There is another way to find wholeness. I want to speak into the camera because I know by faith that there is somebody who needs to hear me. You don't need to end your life to find rest for your soul. There is a Jesus who walks this earth. He sent me here today. I am a representation of this man. He can give you rest for your soul. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand of praise this morning. He says, I will give you rest for your soul. For us as believers in this dispensation, we have this invitation to come to a place of rest, not for one year, not for one day, but permanently. Everyone say permanently. Permanently. Permanently, we rest. In the Old Testament, they worked 6 days and rested one. For us, we work from rest. Amen. Jesus says, come to me. He says, take my yoke upon me, upon you. He says, he says, because I am humble and gentle in heart. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. In other words, we still work, but we work from the place of rest. We don't work and then come to rest. No, we work from the place of rest. So whatever you do, the job before you can reset, come back to the place of rest. Come back. The Amplified says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. The Amplified, this is the classic edition. He says, I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Hallelujah. I don't know what your year has been like, but the Lord can refresh your soul. He can ease. He can remove the burden. He can relieve and refresh your soul. He says, take my yoke upon you. The Amplified Classic Edition says, I am gentle, I am meek, I am humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest. He says, the Amplified says, you will find relief, ease, refreshment, recreation, blessed quiet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people could do with some of that right now? Isn't it the will of, it is the will of God. The world is looking for this rest that Jesus offered. What they do with yoga is rest they're looking for. The meditations that you are finding on YouTube. I'm calm. I am calm. I am calm. I'm not running around like a headless chicken. I am calm. What are they looking for? Rest. And Jesus offers rest. Amen. I don't know where your week has been, where your year has been. Come on, just take a deep breath and breathe. Just rest. Say right now, I receive. Rest. In Adam's time, the place of rest was the Garden of Eden, the presence of God. And that was all Adam knew. And then he missed it. He was kicked out of the garden. In the Old Testament, the place of rest was a time. On that Saturday, that was the day of rest. In that year, that was the year of rest. Okay? That was the place of rest. But you and I in the New Testament, we have come into a rest. Another day has been set. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Because if you let me come in, I will eat with you. I will feed with you. I will bring rest to your soul. Amen.
By the time we're done today,
you will walk away in peace. Amen. You will be so chilled, they'll think something is wrong. There will just be peace coming from within. Close your eyes for a second. Put your hand on your chest. Say, I receive. Rest right now. I'm not anxious. I'm not fearful. I know whom I have believed. I receive my rest right now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Quickly. What exactly do I have to believe to find this rest? Because right now it still sounds churchy, right? It still sounds kind of, you know, zen, whatever. It just kind of sounds out there. Okay? What do I have to believe to find this rest? Number one, believe it is finished. Okay? The rest, the place of rest, is the place of God's rest, right? Is the place of God's rest. And our invitation into the place of God's rest is an invitation into the place where all is done. All the work has been finished. Someone say, it is finished. God finished the work, and through Adam's sin, he was exempt from that place of rest. But when Jesus came, he paid the price for your sin. And on that cross, he declared, it is finished. He reset the time and brought you back into rest. Amen. So look where you live from. The moment you receive Jesus Christ, you are invited into a place of rest, into a place where everything has been done. He has finished the work concerning your life. Let me tell you, the work that needs to be done to ensure that you become the man, the woman that God has called you to do, to be, has been finished. Amen. Every financial need you have has already been finished. God is not in the problem trying to sort it out with you. No, he finished the work and then he rested. And he says, come and rest with me. Yeah. Do you get that? He's resting not because he is God. He's resting because he is God, and he's finished the work. He called you and I into a finished work. So when you have a need right now, how do I get into rest? It is realizing that I might not know how this bill is going to be paid, but this much I know, the provision is finished. It's there somewhere. As I walk as the righteous, the path of the righteous will get brighter and brighter. And as I keep walking, he will show me where the money is, just like he did this year. Some of you were worried about how you would this year will turn out, but look what the Lord did, how he answered your prayer, how he walked with you, brought the right car. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. This God excites me. It is finished. The work is finished. He has done it. That's why we are not anxious. That's why we don't, no, we rest in the finished work, knowing that if sickness touches my body, God doesn't have to create healing. God is not like the world looking for a cure to coronavirus. Amen? The world doesn't have healing. They're looking for it. God has healing. It is done. So if you get infected, don't be afraid. We stay in rest. Amen? Rest. Everyone say rest. Amen. Let me just say this. The agenda of the enemy in this season is much more than a virus. The agenda of the enemy is to keep you in a state of permanent unrest. That is why if you have the vaccination, you are still not safe. If you don't have the vaccination, you don't shut me down. So let me tell you, I'm not. The point I'm making is this: our rest is in Christ. Amen. Now, God gives wisdom for medication. He gives wisdom for all of those things. But get the point I'm making. The agenda, and this also is a, oh, God will give me grace. Because the enemy, the work of the enemy in this season is much, please hear what I'm saying. I don't say much about this, but I need to say this. The work of the enemy in this season is greater than any vaccination, is greater than any virus. It's the division coming in the house of God. It's the hatred in families. It's how families can't even look one another in the eye because we have different opinions. What greater evil can there be than that? There is no virus that is greater, that is more evil than a family that is disunited. And I'm calling you to see what the enemy is doing. Respect people's opinions. If another person doesn't have your opinion, don't sow division. You become a minister of the ministry of the devil. Leave that alone. Oh, please hear me. You know, God will give you wisdom. God will give you wisdom. You are grown. You are an adult. You have the Spirit of God within you. He will lead you to what you need to do. But what I do believe we need to protect is the unity of the faith. Protect the unity of the faith. Don't allow yourself to hate another person or even posture yourself like you do because they have a different opinion to you. Anyway, I don't know why I got into that. But it is finished. Someone say it is finished. It is in the presence of God that we realize it is finished. It is finished. Hallelujah. So sickness and disease have nothing on us because it is finished. 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. It is finished. Even when we're ill, he comforts us. Even when we lose family and friends, he comforts us. It is finished. We still stay in the place of rest. Are you with me so far? Number two, how do I know I'm in this place of rest? It is constant fellowship. In the place of rest is constant fellowship with God. In the garden, they were in fellowship with God in the cool of the day. In our time, we are in constant fellowship with God through the word, through prayer, through repentance, through changing your mind. Amen? Changing your mind. If you are in real relationship with God, then we are in the place where we're constantly communing with him, not just for the feels, but so we can change our minds. The book of Acts talks about how I think it's Peter, he's preaching the gospel to the church, to the people in Greece at the time, and he says to them to repent so that times of refreshing may come. Because when we change our mind and align our minds with the mind of God, then what happens is that we step into the rest of God, and in the rest of God, we find refreshing. Are you still with me so far? We find refreshing. And so constant fellowship. Constant fellowship, constant being in the Word. That's why I love what you're doing here, being here, both online and in person. It is prioritizing the Word of God. Because every opportunity you get to be in fellowship with God, unbroken fellowship. Unfortunately, we do live in a world where you have to go to work, right? So you can't always be lost in the Spirit. You have to come back and you have to work. Amen. You have to be with other people who are not in the Spirit. And so there are interruptions. And when we're in heaven, when we're fully in the presence of God, the presence of God will be so manifested that we will not be in and out. It's that constant flow. But you and I can strive is wherever we find ourselves. The only work of a believer, in fact, if you read Hebrews 4, the work of a believer is the work to enter into rest. That's where we are now. The work that the believer does is the work to enter into rest, because there is so much around us. Just going to work disturbs your rest. So now when you're on the bus, you've got to work. You've got to make sure you're not just listening to what is that doing to your soul? Is that the presence of God? You know, I'm sorry. You just kind of just listen to the Bible. Be in the presence of God. Amen. Just listen to something wholesome, something that invites, not just something that makes you whine. Am I allowed to say whine? Okay. I'm sorry. Just come back. Everyone say constant fellowship with God. It's where every chance you use, every spare time, mandere bashkien klukoba, resanta, make it a habit. It's not deep. It's you resting. Right, look at you. It, most of the time, in our effort to not be deep, we become so shallow. You're not an ordinary person. You are a son of God. You are a spirit being. You have access to the presence of God. Right there on that bus, everybody can be traveling to London, but you can be in the presence of God simply by opening your mouth and just praying in tongues. Not so everyone hears you. That's not the point. It's so your soul knows who you are. Amen. Engage the presence of God. Often, that's how you get into a place of rest. I promise you that right now, as I'm teaching, nobody's anxious. No one is afraid. If anything, you are full of hope, because that's what happens in the presence of God, in the place of rest. And finally, you know you're in a place of rest because you are in tune with the unforced rhythm of grace. That's what Matthew 11:28 says. It talks about the rhythm in the Message Bible. It says, walk with me, talk with me. I will show you the unforced, in the Message translation, the unforced rhythm of grace. It's in this place where whatever it is you are doing, you know that you are in a rhythm. You're in a rhythm. The grace of God there is a rhythm to this thing. When God gives you a word about what he wants to do in your life, it is because the grace of God has already been released before he gave you the word. And so when you approach the thing to do the thing, you know that there is the grace of God available for me to do it. So I can just flow with the rhythm. I'm not stepping out of the grace of God into my own strength to make it happen. No, I'm working with the rhythm of grace. So for me, this is what it looks like. Every time I think, nobody's going to come today. I come back into the rhythm of grace. I come back. God sends them. He sends me. He sends them. So I'm just going to go into the Word. I'm going to study the Word. And I know God will send people. And he has not failed me. Because when we operate in the rhythm of grace, we operate in the rest of God. Isaiah 32, final scripture, Isaiah 32. Is this helping somebody? It says, verse 18, my people will dwell in peaceful habitations. This is us. This is who you are, that you will dwell in peaceful habitations. Someone close your eyes, put your hand on your chest. Declare, I dwell in peaceful habitations. I am peaceful in my soul, my body is peaceful, my environment is peaceful. I dwell in rest. He says, in secure dwelling, in quiet resting places. This is who we are, what we have been called to. So Lord, today, we make a fresh decision. Just close your eyes where you are. We make a fresh decision to enter into rest. Declare right now, right now. Come on, declare with me, declare with me. I believe it is finished. Right now, I value the presence of God, the honor and the privilege to continue in fellowship with God. Today, I am in tune, in rhythm with the grace of God. I am at rest. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise if you believe. Give the Lord a hand of praise. We dwell in this place of rest. Whatever you're dealing with today, please just rest. Just know it is finished. Just know there is so much more we can look at. Maybe you can go ahead and study that. But just know it is done. Let's come before God with our giving. Let's bring our best gift.